Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of I'm Like Anime, the talk show where we talk about, you guessed it, anime.
And the like.
Yes, anime and the like. Oh, I like that. Maybe we should change our name.
No.
Too late. Way too late. I'm George, and I am with, as always...
Who? I just see you over there.
With me. This is a conversation with myself.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
you're
why
here with yourself.
You're here. But Tony has joined us once again.
It's me.
How's it going, man?
It's going all right.
We got what week is this? Week five?
Six.
My
now.
God.
Yeah, I know. It should be at the top of your sheet there on the right.
Oh, yes. Week six schedule.
That's right.
I'm asking questions I already have in front of me.
The information is all provided for you, George, by the producers.
Yeah, I noticed there's stuff on here. I'm going to start paying attention to it. So yeah, this is episode 16 of our podcast for spring 2021.
Yeah, how many shows are we doing?
Well, we're doing 4 plus some ONAs.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you count all the ONAs, how many is that?
7.
Is that on your sheet too?
Yes, but
wow.
I
someone very thoughtfully
did math
all
instead
of the
looking at that.
Oh. How many of these shows are you watching?
According to this, 4.
How many am I watching?
0.
Oh,
it doesn't look like you watched anything.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a nap, and you go ahead and talk about anime for the next hour.
Sweet. Well, we'll kick it off with a little show called Super Cub. It's a show we're both enjoying, slice of life, peaceful, but also, you know, learning some life lessons. And you were right last week, because you predicted that... So in the end of last week's episode... I can't remember his dang name.
Reiko.
Well, Reiko, but
Koguma.
Koguma, yeah. So Koguma goes to, you know, Reiko invites her over, and it's the end of summer. And we saw what Koguma was doing all summer with her job, her new job and stuff. But you predicted that we would get to see what Reiko was up to, and that's exactly what this episode was.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a hard prediction, because at the end of the episode, where they do the tease for the next episode, they said the title of the next episode, which was... Reiko's Summer, I think.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So
I missed that.
Not hard to predict.
Well, I gave you a lot of credit for that.
Based on that information, it wasn't too hard for me.
What'd you think of Reiko's Summer?
It was interesting. It was not... Like, I knew she was going somewhere interesting, but it was definitely not what I expected. I expected her to be going, like, just somewhere semi-exotic on vacation or something like that, which I guess... It's a fairly exotic location in Japan, but no, she went to work as well, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But the work was just an excuse to be able to ride her cub up the side of Mount Fuji, basically.
Or at least try to several
try
times.
Try to, yeah. She made it quite a ways.
She did, yeah. But she didn't quite do it, but I guess it's, you know, quite a treacherous... I don't know, journey with a cub. I mean, I was confused because, like, she really wanted to, you know, the mountain is so, Mount Fuji, so gorgeous. She wanted to, you know, be at the top of it and, you know, really see it up close.
Yeah.
But she had to do it with her cub because this is a show called Super Cub. She can't just hike.
Yeah, it wasn't that she wanted to just get to the top of Mount Fuji and see the view. She wanted to ride her bike to the top of Mount Fuji. And they sort of, you know, cover it in this episode where it's like most of those trails are closed to motor vehicles nowadays because of, you know, EPA. Well, not EPA, but, you know, whatever the Japanese EPA is, I guess.
Yeah.
So going up onto Mount Fuji on a cub normally for a normal person wouldn't be possible. The only people that can really take motor vehicles up there are people that work on the trails. So she got a job working on the trails so that she had an excuse to be able to ride her cub up the side of Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
And her boss was cool with the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like somewhat confused, but also encouraging at the same time.
Somewhat. I think he got it. He was just like, if that's what you want to do, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like you're kind of an idiot, but okay, go for it.
Yeah. And so then he sort of assigned her to scout the trails ahead of the bulldozer that they have to take up to do trail work and stuff. So yeah, so every day she would, you know, take her cub and ride as far up the trail as she could Yeah. And it was really just an excuse to be able to try and ride her cub to the top of Mount Fuji.
That's true. And she had several attempts where she like biffed it. She like, I mean, different things happened. She come around a corner too quickly, or she hit, like, she wasn't really watching sometimes. Where
there's
she
a
was
lot of times
riding.
Where she just appeared to hit a rock,
yeah,
and go flying off of it,
and then that was it.
I don't know. Yeah,
I was like, watch where you're riding. You're such a pro.
Well, I mean, on rough trails, it can be, you know, hard to see, because I mean, the rocks and the dirt all kind of look true. The same color and everything, so you might not see the rock until you're right up on it.
I guess that's true.
But yeah, she seemed to really lack control once her front wheel popped up. And, yeah, she wiped out several times, yeah.
Yeah. Just seems like it could have been a little more careful. I mean, I'm nitpicking this, but, you know, it's a entire, you know, incline up a mountain. So it's not like,
yeah.
You know.
It's like a switchback trail, basically, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like she's ever going that fast, you know. It's not like she's, you know, going downhill and, like, you know, hitting these, you know, these bumps and
right.
Wiping out. But all right. Yeah. It was her struggle over the summer and she got somewhere with it. And then, they had, when Koguma is over at her place, she makes okonomiyaki.
Oh yeah. And, okonomiyaki again.
I wrote that down. Cause I think we both love,
or not again, but the okonomiyaki. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of food in this show,
mm-hmm.
But, we both love okonomiyaki.
Yes.
And it made me want it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was most of it. Like at the end, they kind of talk about, you know, just, I don't know, chit chat about, you know,
yeah,
how their summers, you know, how they felt they went, versus what they actually did.
Yeah, basically. And I mean, there was some backstory on Reiko as well, sort of included in her, climb up the mountain and everything. Like we kept getting these little flashbacks of her, at a younger age, I believe.
Yeah, I remember something like that where, I don't know, I think it covered like her interest or the beginning of her fascination with cubs and like those kind of motorbikes and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But oh, yeah, because we saw her as a first year, right? And they're third years now, I think.
Oh, are they?
I believe they're third years now. Mm. So, yeah, so we saw her as a first year, which is when she, I think, got her cub and first started taking interest in it and stuff, so.
And she said something about, like, she decided at some point to just live alone. It reminded me we're not sure about Koguma, if her parents are dead or she's just living separately from them. But there's now, like, this, like, you know, pattern of just, like, let's not mention the parents at all. Like, we'll just completely gloss over that. And I'm kind of confused by it because they're still in high school, but maybe they are third years and they're nearing, you know, they're old enough maybe that they are semi-adults that, I don't know. I don't know if that's what the show's going for. But.
I don't think it's super unusual in Japan based on anime. I don't think it's super unusual in Japan for children to move to a different town and live on their own so that they can go to the high school that they want to. It's sort of like, you know, in America, going to college where, you know, children often move out and go to a different town for college.
Yeah.
Seems that might be the case in high school for Japan. At least, again, just judging from anime, I know nothing more about it than what I've seen in anime, but it's pretty common in anime.
Yeah. So. And it's like, it's a thing that happens here, I suppose, in high school when it's like a prep school or a boarding school or something like that, where they have their own dorms and kind of like a pre-college.
Or if it were some sort of specialty high school or something like that.
Yeah.
High school for the arts or something. Not that this one necessarily is. It seems like a pretty basic high school. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's just interesting that they don't, it's just not part of the story, I guess, where like they're, you know, it's not like they're, it's their struggle to become more adult, you know, and separate from their parents. It's like, oh no, they're already kind of established, and which is fine, but it's something that whenever it is kind of like with this Reiko episode, it was kind of like skirted around. She's, you know, just was like, I'm going to live alone. It's kind of like, well, what's going on there? Like,
we're less than halfway through the season. So it's
that's true.
Possible they still address it further at some point, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping they do. I'm just curious. Like, yeah. If it's something they're just ignoring or if it'll play into later.
Yeah, maybe. The other notes here I have on it is sleepover.
Yep.
Which is, you know, Kogomo was a little, she wasn't that reticent, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I doubt she brought, like, was prepared for that with, like, clothes and whatnot.
Right.
But yeah, but it also plays into her character of just being very passive and,
yeah, that's true.
Amiable. Like, she's just kind of floating around.
I should mute my phone, maybe. and then the other note that I had was they talk about souping up Koguma's cub a little bit, like boring out the cylinders, getting a little more CCs on it.
Because
she's saying she wants to get her actual license instead of whatever provisional license or training license or whatever.
Yeah, well, she said specific, like, motorcycle license,
right?
Or motorbike. Yeah, so I don't know if there's, like, a lower tier, which, like, more for, like, a motorized scooter versus...
Yeah, I think so. I think even here in our state, they have such a thing, because I remember my mom having a motor scooter when I was younger, and I don't know. She had to get, like, a separate endorsement on her license, I think, if it was a motorcycle, but because it was a scooter, she didn't or something, so I don't know.
Okay, so there's something there. But yeah, I guess because of that, yeah, they were talking about souping it up, and Kogomo was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Which I think, because I with this show, I like it, and I really like the theme of Kogomo coming out of her shell more and more and becoming more, I don't know, more outspoken. And I to me, that was like something that she normally wouldn't have said. She would have just, you know, just let the person keep talking, but... She was like, she made a point to be like, I don't know what you mean. And yeah, and then Reiko was like, let me lay it out for you.
Let me explain it from the beginning. Let me go over the basics with you.
Yeah. That was cool.
Because I understood what she was talking about with boring out the cylinders to, you know, increase the size of the combustion chamber and stuff. But yeah, I don't think anyone that doesn't know at least a little bit about how engines work would necessarily know what that meant.
Yeah, I was with Kogomo.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, and that's about all that happened in that episode. I've got this at a 7 out of 10 still, I think. I don't think that's an upgrade. I think it's still at 7 of 10, so yeah. How you feeling about it?
I mean, this episode was a 6 for me, but overall probably a 7. I was just, it's actually when I look at the episode that's like keeps 6-7, 6-7, it just keeps going back and forth there. But overall, I do like it. But this episode, I don't know, I guess with all the, with Reiko, you know, her several attempts going up Mount Fuji, it just started to kind of wear, where it was like kind of the same thing over and over. And I kind of got where they were going for, but it's not like they had really built up her character. This was sort of an introduction. Not to her, but like to her past and what she's about.
Yeah.
So
I think why I liked it, I guess, is because it was giving us more, because we don't know almost anything about her up until this. And now we know certainly more than we did before this episode.
So. Yeah. A little bit, not that much. I appreciated that aspect of it, but just as a whole, it was kind of like, I don't know, repetitive to watch in parts. But it's still an enjoyable show, and I look forward to it each week. So.
Me too. And apparently, my friend who listens to our podcast, he decided to start watching this. I think there was some issue with getting Funimation to work right or something. Because this one's on Funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was having some issues with the app, I think.
Which is part of the...
Part of the joy of paying for Funimation.
Yeah, like, God, anyway. You should get a discount just with all the hassle each person has to.
Yeah, so of all the episodes that we cover in our podcast on a weekly basis, this was the one that he chose to pick up.
Right on.
Not entirely sure why. I kind of asked him, but he didn't really tell me. So
we often start with it. So
that's true. It is it is the first one of the week every week. So
cool. Well, if you're listening to, you know, let us know what you think.
I'm sure he'll let me know on Thursday when I talk to him.
There you go. Go through it.
Actually, he's usually about a week behind, so I probably won't hear until not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Anyway.
Well, what do we got next, Tony?
Next up is So I'm a Spider, So What? Also known as Kumo Desu ga Nanika. episode number 17. All right. So where do we leave off with this one? Oh, that's right. We left off with Kumoko having been blown into pieces by the demon lord.
But she's immortal, so we don't really care.
Yeah, she's gonna live, I guess, air quoting live. Hmm. Like she's not gonna die because she's immortal, but anyway. So we start off this one seeing the demon lord talking to the Empire's forces. So we're in the future timeline, the human, 15 years in the future timeline.
Which I'm not watching this, but I'm following along with your descriptions. But last week you said you finally became more interested because they established that there's a connection between the two. And
well, I knew there was a connection between the two. I mean, yeah. I think most people assume there was a connection between the two, but they have explicated, what the actual connection is and the timeline and everything like that.
Okay.
So that's been explained more. But really the reason I became more interested in the human stuff is because Shu and his party are off on sort of an adventure thing, right?
Oh, yes.
And it moved away from the political nonsense of the Empire. So back to the political nonsense of the Empire.
Oh, no.
It's actually fairly brief. It's just like right at the beginning of the episode. Okay. And the Demon Lord is at like the palace. She's talking to like the head of the military or whatever. And from this conversation, I got the idea or the gist of the idea that the Demon Lord is pretty much in charge of the Empire's forces at this point. So it seems like she's sort of the one that orchestrated killing the king and sort of driving Shun out. Shun's like the main character that is a reincarnation, and he was like the second or third son of the king or something like that. So he wasn't even like next in line, but somehow the Demon Lord got her claws in and convinced his older brothers to sort of kill the king and sort of overthrow everything. And anyway, now she's basically in charge is what it seemed like. So that's really as far as I understood and paid attention to for that part.
And this Shun character is the main character of the human story, yeah, which is in the future.
Yeah. He's our main guy. So in the light novel, chapter one is Kumoko being born as a spider, and chapter two, the second chapter, I guess I should say, is chapter S1, S for Shun.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we sort of pick up his story. It's like the second chapter of the light novel.
Mm.
But the way it's divided up is kind of weird, but yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So yeah, he's our main guy in the human side of the story. And then, so yeah, in the human timeline, the Demon Lord who's in charge of the Empire's forces is basically getting ready to send a large assembly of the Empire's forces after Shun and his crew, is sort of what it seems like, as explained in that scene where we learn that the Demon Lord is the one that sort of orchestrated this whole thing. Anyway, and then we get to go back to Kumiko's timeline. So 15 years in the past again. And she's been torn apart by the Demon Lord's attack. But she's immortal, so basically it's her head is just sort of adrift on the ocean, because remember she was out fishing and everything, so she was out on the ocean. Anyway, so all of her limbs are gone and everything, and she's just a head that's just sort of floating and bobbing on the waves of the ocean. And she's just sort of sitting there waiting for the rest of her body to heal and regenerate and stuff. So that's what we see of her. And then we get to go and see what Shun's doing. And they are in the labyrinth, and they're, sort of making their way through. There's a lot of talk. Their guide talks a lot about the nightmare of the labyrinth, which is sort of veiled talk about Kumoko in the past, because we find out that he was a guide for the party that went into the cave or into the labyrinth 15 years ago and encountered her. And there's just some more information sort of reinforcing that timeline disparity between the two. And then we learn a little bit more about, because we haven't seen her in the current 15 years future timeline at all. yet.
Who?
Kumiko.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So we learn a little bit more about what's been happening with her or what has happened with her since the timeline that we know her from and the current timeline.
Is the idea that all of these main characters were in a party together and went into this labyrinth and then were thwarted by being reincarnated, like... Or no, that's not.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they were high school students.
Oh, okay, okay.
I thought I probably said that in the past.
Probably.
Yes, but all of the reincarnated people are high school students. They were all in the same high school class.
Oh, okay, okay.
One of them's the teacher. That's part of Shun's party, is the teacher who was reincarnated as an elf.
So Kumiko was reincarnated into mm-hmm. a spider world. Or area, right?
Yeah.
And then the others were reincarnated as humans, but not like a more fantasy?
Not all of them. Oh, okay. But most.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they're no longer like in their, where they went to high school, like their original, like their
correct.
Hometown.
But I mean, Kumiko was reincarnated into the same world. Mm. She just was reincarnated in this labyrinth as a spider.
Yeah.
The labyrinth is part of the world. It's just the humans that were reincarnated. Or the classmates who were reincarnated as humans, reincarnated in like a town or something. And Shun okay. kind of got lucky in that he was reincarnated as one of the king's sons. And,
okay.
and there's another classmate that was reincarnated as an earth dragon, and another one that was reincarnated as a vampire. And anyway,
this makes a lot more sense to me. Thank you. Please continue.
There's a good handful of different things they were reincarnated as, but several were reincarnated as humans.
Okay.
And apparently the teacher, the elf, who is the reincarnation of the teacher, she knows sort of where all of them are, but she hasn't really told everyone. She's like, yeah, well, I know that there's like, you know, 16 of the class that have been reincarnated as humans and they're all here now. And then there's, you know, a couple other people. And then there's like the two or three that she just doesn't talk about anytime people ask about her. One of those is Kumiko. One of them, I believe, is the vampire. And then there's another one that she just, that we don't really know, but she says, well, yes, I know where she is, but, or I think it's a she. Anyway. Yeah. She says, I know where she is, but yeah, we don't need to talk about her or something basically. So I don't know. I've got speculation on that, but I'm not going to reveal that at this time.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, thank you for clarifying. Cause yeah. I got, for some reason I kept thinking the human world, I kept hearing about the political stuff that you're talking about, but I was like still imagining them as like high schoolers or something, but you know, but now that's much clearer.
Well, I mean, they are, because as I said, they were all reincarnated 15 years ago. Because Kumiko is a spider, she grows up faster, basically.
Yeah.
She grows faster. Whereas all of the humans grow at normal human speed.
Yeah.
So now in the human timeline that I talk about is 15 years in the future from the time that they were reincarnated, or approximately. And yeah, they're all like 15 years old then.
Because they are in school.
So they were all born.
Okay. I see. Okay.
So they are all of school age, and a lot of the stuff that they show is... in the beginning anyway, is them in school, you know, learning magic and fighting.
Okay, yeah.
And the
yeah.
sort of
fantasy
things
school.
Yeah, the sort of things you would learn in a fantasy realm like this, I suppose.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, Shun and them are making their way through the labyrinth, and we've got the guy, their guide, basically talking about Kumiko. He's not a reincarnated, he's just some guide to the labyrinth.
Okay.
And he's, you know, talking about Kumiko without actually saying that he's talking about Kumiko, because he's talking about the nightmare of the labyrinth, which is like this weird monster that if you don't attack it, it won't attack you. But it disappeared like 10 years ago. No one knows where it is, but it left behind vestiges, which are sort of these, I don't know, spirit spiders, I guess, that still sort of haunt the labyrinth.
Okay.
And Shun and his party do encounter them. And the way that the conversation goes between Shun and the vestige, or one of the vestiges, reveals that the vestiges know about reincarnations. I forget exactly how it goes, if one of the vestiges says, oh, you guys are all reincarnated or something like that. And the only people that know about reincarnations are those who are reincarnated.
So they remember like their past life.
They do. And they also, so in the world of the story, you know how you can appraise things and it shows you like when you appraise someone, it shows you like all of their abilities and their skill levels and all that kind of stuff. Right. And there's this one little, ability that I forget what the symbols used to represent it are, but it basically just looks like gibberish to anyone that doesn't know.
Oh,
but
okay.
All of the reincarnated have that ability listed. So anyway, okay. That's how Kumiko's vestige, I guess, knows that they're reincarnated. But we don't know where Kumiko is at this point because it's been 10 years since she herself has been seen. And well, it's been 15 years since we've seen her because, you know, it was 15 years ago that she was cut apart by the Demon Lord and left adrift at sea. So we're not sure, you know.
So that's like, whenever that reveal, whenever Kumiko shows up in the, you know, future timeline.
Yeah.
Then that'll be like huge, right? That'll be.
Yes. And I don't know how soon that's going to be. I don't know if that's going to be this season. I kind of doubt it's going to be this season. But,
okay. I got to milk it.
Yeah. Well, there's so much. I mean, there's so much existing content in the manga and the light novels and stuff that, you know, I don't know exactly where in that progression the two finally coincide, but maybe by the end of the season, maybe it's the big reveal at the end of this season, possibly. I don't know. But anyway, so Labyrinth, Spider, Vestiges, talks to Shun. All right, so the Demon Lord who attacked Kumiko in the beginning part, when she's talking to the soldiers, they're going to go off to the Labyrinth area to track down Shun and his people. One of the soldiers says to her, "Oh, that's the place with all the giant spiders or whatever they're called, Terratects in this." And she says, "Oh, well, no worries there. They're all my children." So then we're like, what? She's like the origin of the entire spider species in this world, apparently.
Wow.
So then she, at this later point in the show, is visiting Mother Spider, Kumiko's mother. And it appears that the reason that she attacked Kumiko was to try and end Kumiko's attack on Mother Spider, because Kumiko sent she one of the abilities that she got was multiple consciousnesses. It's a word, right?
Yeah,
sounds weird when I say it.
It's just not often a thing.
She has more than one consciousness.
Mm.
Yeah, let's go with that. And anyway,
simultaneous, or she can jump
simultaneous. Okay. Yeah. And so she sends a couple of them off because of the telepathic link between her and Mother. She sends them off through this telepathic link to attack Mother. And that's how she sort of ended Mother's attack on her. Anyway, so the Demon Lord, who is in fact the mother of Mother, I guess, and every other spider, as it turns out.
Wow.
Attacked Kumiko to try and end the attack on Mother. She thought Kumiko was dead, but she didn't know about Kumiko's immortality. So she doesn't know that she's just a head bobbing along on the sea. And so she goes and she's visiting Mother, trying to figure out why Mother is not recovering from the attack. And I guess is using a sort of telepathic link. And then one of Kumiko's consciousnesses sees this and then starts attacking the Demon Lord through this link that she opened to Mother. So anyway, now...
That's complicated.
Now Demon Lord has realized that Kumiko must still be alive, because otherwise, you know, the attack would have ended. And now she's being attacked. And that's kind of where we leave off with the Demon Lord thing.
And this is the same Demon Lord from 15 years in the future, too?
Yeah, appears to be the same. The past and present Demon Lord appear to be the same same character.
Okay.
Reasonably sure. And... Anyway, it I guess the only other thing I really got from this was it looks like at some point during this season, there's probably going to be some sort of showdown between Kumiko and the Demon Lord, which may be part of why Kumiko ends up disappearing, you know, 10 years in the past from the human timeline, which would be 5 years in the future from... So I don't know. It's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
These multiple timeline juggling. But yeah, it's still really good. I'm still really enjoying it. What do I have on here? Yeah, 7 of 10 overall. And this episode, yeah, probably still 7 of 10 because they're, you know, tying little bits together a little bit. Yeah. So pretty
cool.
Pretty enjoyable show and a great theme song, which I've been listening to a lot lately. So the second part of the season, they changed the theme song and yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like this opening theme better than the original opening theme, but I like the original ending theme better than the current ending theme.
Mm.
So combination between those two. Yeah, pretty good.
And speaking of themes, we'll probably touch on our favorites at the end of the season.
Yes, we talked about this last season, although we sort of had a failure to launch last season, which is why we never got to it. But yeah, we're going to probably do a talk, maybe a special episode. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work out, but
yeah,
we're going to talk about all of the music in all of the anime from this season, I think.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And so then next up, we've got the ONAs and shorts block. And to start us off, we've got The Way of the House Husband. You mentioned, George, that you might be, you know, watching this.
I'm curious. Well, speaking of the opening and ending themes,
yeah.
We were last week, you and I were kind of delving into, you know, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one came up, I think it's the intro.
Yeah,
it is. And I really liked it. It's kind of more of a rockin' number, and it's kind of weird. Like, it's got this, like, sort of odd slant to it. But it's really good. It reminds me of the opening to Welcome to the NHK. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's an older show. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's like falling in love with a theme. It's like, well, yeah, maybe I should check out the show. And it seems like a pretty light, you know, lighthearted affair. So I may. I haven't committed yet.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty light. It's pretty easy to watch. But unfortunately, this is the last episode. I thought there were six. There's actually only 5.
Oh, wow.
So yes, there's 30 sub episodes because each one has 6 mini episodes within the episode. And yes, I have now seen all 30 of them. And yeah, I'm a little sad to see it go. It's been enjoyable watching it.
Mm.
It's not like a great show or anything, but it's yeah, it was still enjoyable to watch. So yeah, a little sad to see it go.
Did it end with much fanfare, or is just kind of like, yep, it's over?
Yeah, just kind of ended. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Because they're all just sort of mini episodes,
little shorts, kind of.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. There's not any sort of overarching story. There's nothing they had to wrap up or anything. It was just, you know, that's enough of that for now. Maybe we'll be back later, I guess, sort of thing. So, yeah, but it was fun. Overall, the whole thing, still a 6 out of 10. It's nothing like spectacular or anything, but it's a little bit above average, I would say. Yeah.
Cool.
And then next we've got Gloomy, the Naughty Grizzly. And this one I know you have been watching. Did you watch this week's?
Yes, I did. In fact, my mom was in the room. I was visiting her for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah?
And she ended up seeing it. I was like, uh-huh. Oh, this one's only a minute. And it was over pretty quick. And it was funny because it's one of the more like sweet...
yeah, that's true.
Not violent.
Yeah, there's no violent assault in this episode.
Yeah, it was actually, I kept waiting for it, but it was basically showing the, you know, it's this boy character who has Gloomy Bear as a pet, a grown bear, and it was showing them, like, the boy is like a baby, I guess, or a toddler, like
younger than he is anyhow.
Yeah, which doesn't really make sense, but meeting the Gloomy as a cub and.
Right, who is shipped to him in a box.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't keep notes for this show, so I don't, that's all I remember.
Yeah. All of the notes I really have is that I think this episode exists solely to show how much they cram into 1 minute normally, because nothing happens in this episode.
This is like their slice of life episode.
Yeah, yeah. There's, not much, Not much going on in this episode, but normally there's at least something that happens. But it was over so quick. Like, it was still a minute, but it felt more like 30 seconds, let me tell you.
I kind of appreciated it for not just doing the same gag again, where, you know, yeah, the boy gets mauled, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to sort of be their thing, but yeah. Yeah.
So for being a minute long, they changed it up.
Yeah. All right, and then we're moving away from shorts and into the ONA Yasuke episode 2. Did you have a chance to watch this one, George?
I did, yeah. Okay. I was pretty sour on the first episode, and mm-hmm. I was not looking forward to this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay. It was a general improvement for me, but okay, I still have issues. But what did you think?
It is, you know, sort of as I predicted, much more action oriented episode. I expect the rest of the show to be more similar to this. The first episode, they were introducing characters, and now that they've done that, they're just going to have them all beat the crap out of each other, I guess. But yeah, it was very actiony. We had a little bit more of Yasuke's backstory, a fair amount more actually.
Yeah, kind of half and half.
Yeah,
and I was far more interested in the backstory than the current story. Like, for anyone that doesn't know, I was researching it, and I mentioned this last time, but Yasuke is an actual person who you know was considered like the first black person in Japan, and you know Noda Obunaga took him under his wing, and you know, so it's based on a lot of, you know, true.
You got really close with that name. you put the N on the wrong name.
Oh, did I?
No. Oda.
Oh, Oda, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Dyslexic.
I can never.
Oda Nobunaga. Yeah, there you go.
Nobunaga. See, I always have trouble with the last name. I always want to say Nobunga or something, and that's definitely not what it is. And I know that's not what it is, but I can't remember what it is.
Oda's Bungo Stray Dogs.
Nobunaga.
Nobunaga. All right. Oda. Yes. But anyway, Yasuke was an actual person, and so this story has historical, some historical accuracy, but. And that's why I'm more interested in the backstory when it shows him actually working under Oda and, you know, trying to contend with, you know, being black, being different than everyone else and trying to fit in and prove himself. And it was, I don't know, it's just way more interesting to me. And then we cut to the actual story where, you know, Yasuke, you know, Oda is dead and he's just kind of like a drifter and he's trying to come to terms with himself. But it just seems severely underwritten, like that aspect of it. And then he has like this, like you were talking about, you know, this gang of, I don't know, their leader's like a crooked preacher or something.
Yeah, who we're introduced to in this episode. Did we see him in last episode at all, or maybe just very briefly?
Yeah, maybe briefly. Like we saw his underlings, fighters and stuff.
Yeah,
and
the underlings for sure.
This is another thing, like it's pulling me out of it because they all, like as we saw in this episode, one of them can turn into like a beast. And one of them has like magic powers, and then one of them's just like a very advanced robot.
One's a robot, yeah.
And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, I don't know.
I mean, they introduced that robot in episode 1. So
that's true.
It's sort of like, you know, if this is going to ruin it for you, you should probably get out now. So, I mean, if you're still in it, then you're just accepting that it's possible for there to have been a super advanced robot mecha sort of thing. In this era,
all I'm saying, I mean, I agree with that, of course, but if there's a gripping story that I'm invested in, then it's easier to overlook things like that. That, I mean, on their face, it's anime, like it's, you know, that's a common thing, but it just seemed like it was not really set up and kind of just shoehorned. Because when the beginning of the first episode, they're totally going for like, you know, more of like a historical action drama, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, they're it's, you know, based on real life people and all that. So it just seems like out of left field for me. And I like, it was like strike two, essentially. I'll probably check out another episode. Like I gave the first one a 4 and this one's a 5. So I thought the animation looked better overall and it was not as painful for me to watch. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I gave the first one a 5. I also give this one a 5. But my last note here says, I'm not that really into it, but I'm going to give it another episode. And once I have done that, I will have watched half of the series.
Yep.
So why wouldn't I finish it at that point, right? So I think I'm in for all 6 at this point. I don't think I'm dropping it. I can't imagine it doing something so egregious that would push me out of it completely. It's probably just going to keep cruising at a 5. It's sort of an action show.
Yeah.
Reminds me of, what was that samurai one with the, he had the straw. somehow I expect you to know it from that. He's a samurai and he had a straw.
Oh, the Afro Samurai?
Yeah, Afro Samurai. Okay, yeah. Stylistically, it reminds me of that. Obviously, it's smaller. It's only 6 episodes, so it's not quite as expansive as that. But yeah, it reminds me of that in some ways, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could see that stylistically, but
the art style more than anything. Not really the story, I guess.
Yeah, right. And like the action, like the fighting scenes and stuff. Like, there's a scene in this episode where he. You know, it's showing the backstory and they go to some castle or whatever. And they're basically saying like, you know, because, you know, you're different than everyone else. Like you can't, you know, challenge you.
You're a slave. You'll always be a slave. You can't be a samurai. You can't represent the Lord.
Yeah.
No. Oh God. What was it? Nobunaga.
Yes. There you go.
I had to think about
together,
it.
Together we can get that name down.
Yeah.
And so eventually these, you know, from this castle, these soldiers come out and he just annihilates them. And it has this very like dynamic, like, animation style, which is cool. I like that. I'm into that aesthetic, but it's like, I'm not invested in any of these characters at this point.
Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Is that copyright infringement?
It might be. I don't know.
That's a lot of catchphrases on that internet show. But yes, my sentiments exactly.
Yeah. So that's Yasuke. Like I say, I'm 5 of 10. George is apparently 5 of 10, which is an uptick for him. I'm cruising about the same as I was before. It was a little less story, but it wasn't any worse for me. It wasn't any better for me. So, and that does it for ONAs and shorts. And then we're going to move on to Blue Reflection Ray, episode 5. All right, so I watched this, but that did not change the fact that I don't care about anything that's happening.
Mm.
I'm not going to waste your time trying to recap what happened in this episode. Not that this episode was any different or any worse than any of the previous episodes. It just, yet again, failed to engage me on a level where I wanted to continue watching it.
Mm.
So 5 of 10 dropped.
Oh, snap.
I'm done with it. I was expecting more of it, and it just never delivered. Mm. And I made it 5 episodes in. So that's, I mean, credit to it. Normally something like this would get dropped quicker, but it had at least some small hooks into me that made me, you know, keep expecting something more than what it was. And it's just become clear at this point that it is what it is, and it's not any more than that. And I just don't care. I'm done with it.
Dang. Yeah, I remember at one point, because you had just recently watched Madoka Magica, Gen Urobuchi show. But you, I think earlier on in this show, Blue Reflection Ray, you were kind of drawing some parallels.
On the first episode or two, because of the whole magical girl premise and that it had some sort of dark-ish undertones to it, but those just never really developed in any meaningful way, like the way they eventually do in Madoka.
Yeah, and especially by episode 5, you're at least...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, by episode 3, I think we... In Madoka, by episode 3, I think we were well into it.
Yeah, invested.
Yeah, the first episode of Madoka, like... And the first episode of this, I could genuinely compare those two things because they're very introductory and they seem to have a lot of the same themes and elements and things like that. But then as we... move past episode 1 into episode 2, episode 3, and onward, the divergences accumulate more.
For the worse.
Yeah. Well, for the worse for...
For Blue Reflection
Ray. Blue Reflection Ray.
Madoka, I mean, that's just a really well-written show, so it's like...
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to hold it to the same standard. I don't expect it to be Madoka. I just expect it to be maybe half as good as Madoka. Which would still make it one of the better shows this season.
Yeah.
It just looked like it had potential to go that way. And it sort of seemed like maybe it would, but then it just, you know, just kept spinning its wheels and not really getting anywhere, not doing anything. It's a very episodic show. And I don't know.
Just wanted a little more from it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've already talked about it longer than I intended to. We can just move on to those Snow White notes. Mashiro no Oto, episode 6.
Yeah, the show about shamisen players.
Yeah.
And this was a show that I started watching, and then you were intrigued, so you caught up on it. Are you caught up for this week?
After how many? I think you were 3 up on me, and then I caught up on those 3, but I was still 1 behind. Anyway,
yeah.
To answer your question, yes, I am up on this. Yeah.
Cool. This one, I don't know, because I know you've been a little underwhelmed, and I suppose I have too lately. But it's like, I guess it's one of those shows for me where it's just like a minor boil. I don't know what metaphor I'm going for here, but it's keeping me interested just enough, and I like the characters just enough where it's like literally just above, like, you know, not caring for me. That I've been,
when you were saying minor boil, you weren't talking about like a growth that you get on your skin. You meant like water simmering, I think.
Yes, a simmer. It's a simmer. Yeah, there's a very light simmer. Thank you. This episode, that's where I'm at. So we'll check in with you in a bit. I'll set this up. But and this episode for me, it was basically about our main character Setsu finding his reason to play. And it wasn't really that profound. Like I wrote here, like he's a bit slow. But the basic idea was that it's to do it for the reaction of the audience, like to, you know, to get that emotional or, you know, visceral reaction, which seems very obvious to me that why anyone would play is to, but he's been, you know, he looked up to his grandfather so much and was so fixated on that. So anyway, that's really what this episode to me was kind of focused on. Not that it, like, you know, completely earned that. It kind of felt to me like, oh yeah, that's had to happen where he's now accepting like his duty to play or his willingness to play. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a duty, but yeah, he's finding a reason to play, I guess. I don't know. The notes that I have is I think this episode is better. I mean, it literally says better, I think. And then there's a whole paragraph about why I said I think. So to be fair to this show in general, like I felt better about this episode than I did about the previous ones. But this was also the day after I got my Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And I had decided, rather than taking aspirin like a normal person would, that I would just get drunk to sort of relieve the symptoms from the vaccine, which, you know, didn't really work. So, you know, this is not medical advice. I am not a doctor. Please consult a doctor before you do anything, you know, remotely close to what I've done. But anyway, I was in pain and drunk while watching this episode. but I did enjoy it more than some of the previous ones.
I mean, that says quite a lot, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the being drunk thing that maybe makes me more able to connect with it in some ways, I think.
Yeah, but, maybe.
In this episode, I felt like I still, you know, don't have like a real strong emotional connection to any of the characters, but Maeda, the girl.
Yeah.
The main girl. I felt more like I'm starting to understand her and where she's coming from a little bit better. So that was maybe the positive I took out of this episode. I don't remember a whole lot about what it was. They were practicing and stuff, right?
Yeah, they were practicing for as a group to enter this very convenient contest that
his mother had.
Yeah, the main character's mom is putting on, which is like, okay. What, you know, is also like a to be expected with a hobby show. It's like there's always going to be like a, you know, some sort of contest to or perform, you know, something to have to, you know, show your skills. But yeah, they're all practicing for the group, and then she's kind of the one that's struggling the most, I think. And so I remember I was trying to think, like, as you were talking about her, I was trying to think of what happened to her most in this episode, and it was kind of that where she was kind of falling behind a little bit, and then had to, I don't know, I don't remember what she did, but she was just practicing more or something.
I don't think she was, I don't know. She sort of found herself, which I guess is why maybe I found the connection with her, is she was, you know, sort of finding the music in herself, I guess, in some way.
Yeah.
She talked to someone, right? I don't remember. I wish I'd taken notes on what actually happened in this episode, but again.
I know, I forget with that aspect, because I just remember more with Setsu, because at some point, what is it that happens? Because he gets inspired to do the solo performance, which everyone wants him to do.
Well, doesn't he talk to his brother or someone else? There's someone that talks to him, and maybe it's a little bit of Maeda talking to him.
Maybe. That could be. Yeah. We're remembering the same things. Yeah, I just can't remember who he talked to.
It's been a few days since we saw this episode.
Yeah.
So. I probably should have taken better notes.
The other thing I wrote down is, which I kind of liked, is I forget his name, but he's one of the other dudes in the group.
Yeah. And so there's two of them. There's the one who's actually sort of good.
Yeah.
That one.
Not the other one.
The other one. Okay. The one that shouts a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they covered something with him because we didn't know a lot about him except that he's childhood friends with Maeda and the other girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, I don't know, I just thought it was interesting. Like, he used to be a soccer player and he was kind of good, but then he had an injury where he had to stop playing.
And
I kind of like that aspect. They kind of, you know, this show is very light in the characterizations, I think, except when it comes to like the power of the music, but
yeah, it's not heavy drama or anything, but you know, throwing in something like that, it's just, you know, it's more to his character. You know? It helps explain his character in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so along those lines, some other character who was talking about him was conveying that because of that, he has a lot of, you know, pent up ambition and, you know, he wants to prove himself. Mm. And even though, you know, playing shamisen isn't his passion, he's kind of throwing himself into it too, since they're all doing it as a group. So I don't know. It's like little things like that. I'm like, okay, this will get me going till the next week, you know?
Yeah, and it was, I would say that this episode was a particular improvement over the last two, at least for me anyway. Like, I've got it as a 6 of 10 on this one again, and I think I'm still 6 of 10 overall for this. The last couple have been 5s for me, and I think maybe you even had a 4 in there at some point in the last few, but...
Not for this one. I've teetered between 7 and 6. I'm at a 6 currently.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you never even hit a 5?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I should have, but...
Yeah, it's just the last two episodes were a little, not much happening, a little drawn out.
And, yeah, I agree.
But this one, I feel, sort of picked it back up again.
And to me, I think it was because of what happened in this episode with Setsu embracing just playing in general, you know, because I feel like because the last few episodes, he's been like undecided on what he really wants to do. And he's just kind of like floating around, but he's the main character. So it kind of affects the whole show that he's just kind of a grumpy Gus about what he wants to do.
Well, he sort of became lost, after his grandfather passed. Like, that was sort of his connection to the shamisen was his grandfather, right? His grandfather passing, like, he feels like he's lost the connection to the music, I guess. And
yeah.
And now he's starting to find it again, which is, has just started happening in this episode.
Yeah.
And which is why this episode has become more interesting again, I guess. Yeah.
I agree. And we're halfway through now. So I'm curious, you know, let's keep going. Let's keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Good episode overall. I think. Did you say you were a 6 or a 7 on this one?
I'm a 6.
6 still? Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know what it is. Like, because some shows, like, I kind of want them to suck so I can, like, drop them, you know, get to a certain point. But it's this one, I don't know. I like something about it. I like the way the music's presented and how emotional and important it is. And I like the characters enough. Like, we've talked about, there's not a lot to latch onto, but... for some reason, I'm rooting for it, and I want it to succeed. Whereas, you know, because we're watching several shows, you just dropped Blue Reflection Ray. That's you know, that's one less show you have to watch. So,
I mean, I was rooting for that show too. It just it didn't hear me.
Yeah, and that was only episode 5. So,
yeah,
you got to make that call. So, I know, no foul there. But yeah, for some reason, I think you I don't know. There's probably another show you have this season where you're similar. Like, you know, you just.
Yeah. In a couple days, there's, you know, at least one show in the episode we're doing in a couple days that is very much on the chopping block. Mm. Don't know if I actually don't even know right now if it's going to be chopped or not.
Oh,
but
geez. All right.
I guess we'll find out in a couple days.
leave you in suspense, dear listeners.
Yeah. But that's it. That's the end of our list for today's show. We hope you enjoyed listening to our voices talk about anime. If you have something that you want to say about one of the shows, we would love to hear from you. We most often get comments on our YouTube videos, which are just videos of the episodes. We don't actually have video of it yet. It's just a picture of the audio waveform, basically, I guess.
But we have a Patreon goal to get cameras, if you're so inclined.
We do, yes. If you all decide to band together, I know there's many of you out there, and if you all decide to band together and give us a few dollars every month on Patreon, we will very soon, very rapidly reach our goal to start actually doing video recording of our audio recording sessions. And then you'll get to enjoy that content as well. But if you have any comments, anything you want to say about any of these shows, should I not have dropped Blue Reflection Ray? Is it going to improve? I very much doubt this. Convince me otherwise, please. We are at Umlike Anime. That's UMLIKEANIME. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on everything. As I said, most of the time, the comments that we get are on YouTube, and we always try and respond to any comments that we get on any of the platforms. We just got a comment the other day. I don't know if he was, he said, what was it? He seemed to be supporting our analysis of a show, but it was a comment on the episode on which we got the previous comment about having a trash take on Vivi. So I don't know if he was trying to support us on the Vivi take. If that was the case, I very much appreciate that because that show was a mess.
That person commented on another more recent video too, where they gave us encouragement. We appreciate that. It keeps me going.
Yes, our most recent episode, episode 15. This person left a comment on just saying, "Hey, you guys are doing a good job," and really, that's a great thing to hear. Because mostly we're just here talking to each other, and occasionally we get feedback from friends. Not very often we get much feedback from people that we don't know. So yes, we appreciate your comment very much. Thank you for that. I've been rambling for long enough now. It's time to fade out and look at all the cards on the screen on YouTube. Click on one of those if you want to watch another video. I've been Tony, and this over here is still George.
Hi, George. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
And goodbye.
Bye, George.
Thank you.